we have raised this because we think SAPS is a long challenge. Because last year we did the very same thing. And this, you know, gives us a challenge in terms of, you know, conducting our oversight clearly towards the end of the financial year. And we agree with you that the management or the oversight or the executive authority has agreed has approved that. But to us, it's a challenge. Since as if, you know, we are planning to fail. We plan now, but we know that we are going to fail. We are going to implement the very same targets that we have planned. So to us, I think we must have registered that it's a concern to us as members of the committee. It's also going to affect the 2017-2018 revised strategic plan. And I think all members have agreed that it's a challenge going forward. And I'm not quite sure how we're going to deal with Jefferson. I'm not quite sure whether they've given another response in the responses that they forwarded to us. But I don't think it's worth it, the response worth it, because it seems as if there's no proper management in the department. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you all, Honorable Chair. That's the feeling of the, that was the feeling of the portfolio committee. And we also used to say that if there are any strategic planning that you are going to embark on, you should also invite us to be part of your strategic planning so that we can have our input on those issues. Because for us, actually, the concern, because we are now in, don't know exactly what are we supposed to do as the portfolio committee on the issues of the revised APC before the financial year ends. So to me and the portfolio committee, we are saying we want the department to make sure that we are being advised on what to do, or we are being part and parcel of what you are doing, so that we can not just see the revised APC just in front of us, but we need to be involved so that we can walk along with you in some of the issues that you have done in this APC. And I would also want to give the members the honorable Macheke and honorable Stanley.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you to the department. Also, thanking the department for tabling everything on us on time, this time of the year. I also want to add in what Honorable Seke has said, that we have no problem with the changes, but we have a problem with the timing, because if it's towards like 1st of March and the end of the financial year is end of March, it becomes difficult for us to be able to do the evaluation. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think we can all get into the specifics, and there are many specifics that one can ask on. We can ask for reasons, we can ask for plans, we can ask what are you planning to do, we can ask how much, we can ask why, how much, etc. I want to know, since the department was infected, when Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities was changed to Department of Women in the Presidency, what documents have you produced? What tangible documents, policy, framework, research reports have you produced? And where is it? Secondly, I want to know what measurable impact has your department made in the socio-economic transformation of women? How have you, as a department, empowered and protected women? Because that's the point. That's the purpose. That's why you get money. And what have you done with it?
Thank you. Right. I won't belabor the point, because I think what I wanted to say has already been said. We are concerned about the fact that there seem to be changes constantly, and also just at the last minute. It makes it very hard for us to evaluate, and I think that we have reached the stage where we say, what has been achieved? We seem to be touching here, there, and everywhere, and then we're changing again. What is going to be the legacy of this committee and of this ministry at the end of this term? We're midway through, but there's just been chopping and changing. And I think the women of South Africa are having a very raw deal. We've spoken often about patriarchal attitudes, but I'm not talking about those now, because this is the committee for women. And what are we actually achieving? To change the lives of women. We have dialogues, we have pilot projects in one or other province, but how does that affect women all over? I'll just leave it at that for the moment. Thank you.
The history to this department, which cannot be ignored. I want us to start there. Right at its inception, where this department is competing with departments which have been in existence for more than 23 years. That's where we need to start, to give the context. Because if we don't understand the context of where we come from, therefore we will not be able to address the issues, we'll do finger pointing instead of understanding the context. The first thing why I'm raising that is that where do we come from as a country? We come from a democracy of 23 years. Where did we start as members of this parliament in 1994? We started with the formation of the Commission on Gender Equality. That's where we started. That's where the law, various aspects, including amendments of the various laws in our country which impacted women. So I thought I need to start there, because we've been compared to departments which have been in existence forever. And why was this department created later in 2009, which incorporated children, women, and people with disabilities? Why was it created? Then, after 23 years, or up down the line, when the issues of women were started some time ago, the reason for us, or a decision I've taken, that we need to create this, it's because the challenges faced by the Gender Commission, which had difficulties in the implementation, and also of the location of Gender Commission, because the Gender Commission then accounted to the Department of Justice. So its work was reported there. So I thought I need to raise that. Why only in 2009 then there was this creation of these vulnerable groups as a now department, or as something which can be headed at the ministerial level? I'm not going to go back to that history. If you read the policy documents of the ANC, they clearly define that, why there was a need to create a women's ministry in South Africa after realizing gaps which were not addressed or not being adequately addressed by various areas. But I also have to allude that we have various laws which are empowering women, which are mainstreamed in other departments. We have not created them. In 2009, when that happened, the purpose was for this department to pull at issues which affect women, which have not been addressed, but also look at the weaknesses which occurs within the various laws when it comes to the issue of women. And I just want also to say, if you look at the, what is that, municipal, that infrastructure act, municipal what do you call it, systems act, some of this long ways. Part of that, if you look at that, which we also have to do introspection as this ministry and department, and we will do it, it's about political parties. What are they doing in making sure, for instance, that public representatives have a recognition of women in their structures of 50-50, where it was agreed to? So we have to oversight that, not only ourselves, including this committee. In 2009, when there was a proclamation of this ministry, the challenge was that it started from scratch and it had to be conceptualized. And those who were here then, they know where it comes from. The first challenge was that I think for 2 years there was no action on it. Right. Okay, can you help me? I might be distorting the other. But there were a lot of challenges where it could not get off the ground adequately. But to a great extent, the 2009 process to 2014, it then tends to tilt it towards other responsibilities like of children, people, and pulling all those issues and unable to really restructure what women are there for. So when we came in 2014, it was said the department has not performed. We have to restructure, that's the directive from the president, we have to restructure and make sure we define its responsibility. But here, we're coming into a space which had already people who were defining. And if I have to go back, part of the difficulties is that we had to make sure that we also address administrative challenges. One of the challenges which I came across now, because it's a direct challenge to me as the one who is deployed there, was that the departmental structures were not known. Were not known. They were never done in terms of the Public Service Act. And therefore, we had to start working together with the Department of Public Service and Administration in the restructuring of the department and aligning. Because at that time, we had to deal with the transfer of people who were in the areas of disability, in the areas of children. It took us almost a year to deal with it. And from there, we had to start dealing with a redefining of what is it that we need to do as a department. I'm raising these issues to say so that we have a context. Come where we are now. Some of the programs we have here are some of the programs which were conceptualized then, despite the financial challenges. And I think this is one committee, members who were there forever, who always complain or are grieved by the budget. So there's no money, there's a tiki here, if I have to put it that way. There's a tiki. And I must also say where we are, for the first time last year, Treasury acknowledged that we are not properly budgeted for. We don't have money for programs. So if we ask questions, we must also say, where are the resources for the work which needs to be done? And the challenge in government is that when you have people a capacity, even if it's inappropriate, you can't fire. You can't come in and say, now Honorable Punzile is there, she's not appropriate, we're going to fire you. You can't. And we will also, I think we've explained in September last year, when we explained in some of the difficulties which were part of this restructuring
But it's part of that. While to fix the other side, to get caught up in situations which you didn't plan for. But where we are now in our restructuring and the issues, I acknowledge that we might be changing every day. But if you realize something is not working, should you keep it for the sake of keeping it? Because that's the thing. And the other thing is that when we make changes, maybe I need to say to the committee, we don't do it unilaterally. We consult. Your internal audit, AG's office, and DPME, we consult with them. We don't just change in the middle. We go to them to say, is it possible, because this is not working? This is not going to deliver. So that's how we are really trying to align. And we believe we might be late as part of the midterm, but we also believe that where we are now, we are more or less on point. We'll be more or less be able to come in account appropriately here. We've been doing various things, and I must also say, Chair, one of the things which you've done when you came in 2015, we developed a report which analyzed the figures of women in South Africa. And I don't remember you committee members calling us and sharing that report. Not the distribution, just going through it together. Because it tells a story. And I must also say, that was the first report in the country which looks at the status of women and the disadvantages. And maybe it's one of the issues to say, we've got to engage, to say, how do you translate that into action? How do we make sure that you as an oversight committee, you understand out of that report what are the issues, because there are recommendations. And it's a report which was not done by us, by the way. It was done by credible institution. It tells my age, I can't remember some of this, but it's a UCT research institution. So, but it's credible, it's been there forever. So they helped us, we commissioned them, they helped us. And I must also say, on our own, we were not going to be able to have that report. We had to solicit funding from outside again to show that we're moving around with a begging bowl to do our work, because most of the things, if we have to do them adequately, there must be resources. So we have managed to produce that report, which helps us now, but also it has been acknowledged that it's the first of its kind. But two, the president, it has assisted the president to say what should be our focus point. And the president in 2015, then gave us a directive to say we must focus on 9-point plan when it comes to the economic empowerment of women. So that's the first thing which I wanted to table, to say the work we have done, and I think it would be fair to engage instead of saying, what have you done? To engage on the work as we present it. And we also acknowledge where we are now. We are moving, and we really say to the committee, we apologize and we note your concern about the chop and change. But it's the environment. It's an environment which forces us to say, people go and come with problems or with things which cannot be deliverable. So we have to correct that when we sit in at our EXCO meeting, when we prepare one of the things which I must also say, due to financial constraints, we did not have our strat plan last year, which was going to prepare us for the midterm review. We couldn't. But where we are now, we'll be going that route. And I must also say that there's no intention of marginalizing the portfolio committee. And we are sincere, we will always make sure that we advise or inform the portfolio committee about our various activities. But I must also say from our side, we're not getting a positive attention by the portfolio committee when we invite them in various areas. When we started the dialogue, I must say, we wrote a letter tiny
We only got the chair one day only, just one day. Not even at the launch by the president of the committee in Northwest. Kaloku, there's a process. I know, but I must be honest. We write to the chair. And I also, some of us were members of parliament. We didn't become ministers. So when there's a letter, we know that the committee chair, I'm explaining the process. I was a member of parliament. I didn't start as a minister. That's why I know the processes of parliament. You know, it's an advantage to rise from the ranks, because then you understand the needs of the ranks. So I'm saying all the time, we send letters and we do the right thing to the chair. We write it to the chair. How then it's discussed and decided on who goes, it's not our mandate. It's the committee. We will do what we are told to do. So I'm just saying that I was whispering to the acting chair to say, we are going to have a retreat. It's a retreat to really try and make sure that we refine. And I'm saying, and we decided this week to say we want to have it. But we will send the letter. We will send the letter. The challenge is that even if the chair is not there, some another member of the committee can be dedicated to attend. So I know it's your in-house chair, which you have to say, how do we manage those letters, which we normally send all the time. We try to make sure that we advise the chair. And I must also add that on a regular basis, we try, whether it's wrong, but we try to be open. And that's why our changes are not hidden somewhere or tucked somewhere. We bring them to the committee because we believe that we have a responsibility. If we are other people, we'd hide some of these things. And that's why we're being honest to say we are coming to the committee honestly so, but also wanting the committee to help us where possible. And where we've got to clarify, we want to clarify. And as the chief director indicated, the issues raised last time, we're trying to refine them. One of those things is that, as you correctly say, we are also trying to make sure we stop coming to you after the effect of things. We've spoken amongst ourselves, so we must be disciplined. We must respect the committee. We must go there timely. And in the process of our program, some of the things which, why you find them falling off, that's another reason. It's things which you can't do because there's no budget for them. And that's why on a regular basis you'll find us tweaking things because we're unable to get that. There are things which we want to do. We're going to look for money outside. We are unable to perform as a department. We engage with Treasury on those issues, on those programs. Unfortunately, we're unable to get money. And as I've indicated, the last point I want to make is that as we deal with this thing, it's also about the appropriate capacity. If we don't have appropriate capacity, we will not be able, we will move slow because we don't have the right capacity. And I know that in the questions there, Honorable Zeke, there is an issue of the CFO. Until we get the right person, we can't just employ for the sake of filling. And you've taken us to task in the past about employing wrong people. So we're really trying to make sure when we fill the post, it's competent people, but it's people who can add value to the department. So the various documents, honorable member, we submit to the portfolio committee on a regular basis. So that's why I said, let me give the history where we come from. Anything we do submit to the portfolio committee. Our annual reports are submitted. And I think that's the document which you have to judge us on. And it's on the basis of that that after talking to Treasury and say, this, we can have it, it's a beautiful thing, but the biggest challenge for us is that there's no money. So if there's no money, but you continue to have that, it means for the next coming period, we will not be able to do that.
So I thought I need to say that, but there is a lot of work which we have done. We've done evaluation, for instance, we've submitted to the committee, the CEDAW committee, the CEDAW report, which, by the way, when I came in, we had a backlog or a default of, I think, 3 or 4, Mrs. Robinson will know better, of some time when internationally we're not meeting our obligations as a country. And it's not easy process because we don't do, we have to, all departments to say what are they doing around issues of women. And I can also share, now we're dealing with another one which is about the African Union Solemn Declaration. It's not easy. Again, we've got to pull the work done by everybody in South Africa for the empowerment or issues of addressing issues of women in South Africa. So I thought I need just to say, it's not that we're not doing anything. We're doing everything within our powers, but also even going beyond of some of our mandates by making sure that we might not deliver adequately. I want to acknowledge that. But we will strive towards making sure any program which is put in front of us, we do deliver. And lastly, may I say that our responsibility is not to empower women, if I have to put it that way. Our responsibility is to ensure every person in this country, every structure, recognizes and empower women. Because if you have to talk about economic empowerment, we can't do it. When you look at issues of empowerment, they're with DTI. So ours is to say, DTI, what are you doing for women? Not us being able to say now we're going to build factories as they could give grants at various points, at various times. And with their incentive scheme, they must make sure that those incentive schemes benefit women. So that's the measure which our responsibility is, to measure DTI, how is it making sure that women are benefiting. IDC, with the 90 billion which they have for empowerment, how much is there for women? So in a nutshell, that's our responsibility, but not really to measure and look at the effectiveness of that. And how are we going to do that? We're going to do that on our MNE. I think last time we did bring the MNE document. We did table to the committee the MNE. We're working now on the system implementation, which departments have to submit their reports. With that report, we'll be able to come to say, this is what we've measured, and this is what is happening in South Africa, and then judge us on the basis of that. But, honorable members, we are really committed. But to say, with us, now, we don't have money. So, and also, it's not our responsibility, because if we can say, all the men of women must come to us, it means we are marginalizing women. But we must make sure where the monies are, women do participate fairly. And it's almost the same debate about why there's no woman president in South Africa. So it's not about, it's about mainstreaming. We have capable women in various areas, in agriculture, in DTI, they've got incentives. Are those incentives benefiting women? So between us and you, that's the space we've got to occupy. Instead of us saying, we must come to you and say we had a billion rand, which we've empowered women now. That's not our responsibility. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks to the Minister and Honorable Second.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chair. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Minister, for your responses. And you want to agree with me in some of the things that you are raising, the challenges that are facing women in this country and challenges that have this department has faced in the previous year. But we want to say that we must get this department, you know, on board so that they can be able to implement the mandate that is given to them. Chair, I want to raise the issue because last year when we met the 18, he complained about the revised APP halfway before the tabling of the for the annual report. He raised the note, and I think even this year the chair has met the AG. He also raised an issue. It seems as if you are not consulting, you're just taking the decisions as executive or as the management. But we're going to meet him again as the portfolio committee, and we're going to ask him if you have consulted him, because that's the, he raised this issue last year, and this year will be checked. And again, Chair, the status on of the report, the status on women in the economy report, a very good document. And I think we must agree as the portfolio committee that we must let the department to come and present it fully. But we want you to, you know, it must be part of your strategic plan. We must see the issues identified in the report, you know, being part of your APPs and your strategic plan. So that we should not leave it as a document out there, you know, saying that this is a beautiful document, but we are not implementing it on the other side. So it must be part of our work throughout. And Minister, you know, in Parliament, when you invite us, Rabu Solero, as the committees, the invitations, we are taking them to the House Chair. And the House Chair can analyze those powers to approve. If he wants to deny us, then we can force him. And if he wants to approve, he just mentioned that there's a number of the people who are supposed to attend. And it is in his power to say the chair and the whip must go to that, because of the, I think, limited resources that we are having in plan. So don't be shocked when always the chair is there, or the whip is there, or maybe two members of the committee are there. Is the approval by the and the directive from the office of the House Chair. We want to be part of your meetings, because your failure is our failure too. Your successes are our successes too, as the members of the committee. And you know what is also shocking us is that every year, not every term, every year we are taking an oversight. This year, last year, we've introduced a joint oversight with other committees. Actually, this year, January, we went with the mineral, the portfolio committee on minerals and rural development. We are always inviting you as the department, and I think we have not raised this thing for once or for twice. We have been consistently raising it, that we are inviting you also as the department to come and, you know, because we want to run away from this desktop research that we are doing. We want to go there and meet people. And, you know, so we are inviting you every day, consistently, so that we have raised it with you. But you are not part of us. January, we went to Limpopo. This year, we went to Mpumalanga. But the department was not there. And it's an embarrassment. When we go with minerals and resources, the department was there. When we were with rural development, their officials were there. When we go with agriculture, their officials were there. You know, but to us, at least CGE is joining us in all the oversight. That's what we appreciate about CGE. And they will take matters that are raised in the oversight very seriously. They will respond to written or coming to Parliament. So this is a plea to you. I don't know how many times I'm going to raise with you that if we have oversight, come join us so that you can be able to hear what the people on the ground are saying and what other departments are saying about you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Honorable Tsege. Honorable Matege.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to echo what Honorable Tsege has just mentioned regarding going to anywhere maybe the department has invited us. At some stage, I met our chairperson at the airport telling me that he's rushing for the function where he's invited by the department of women. And then I was surprised, what about us? He said, my gentleman, I only heard yesterday, and he was the only one. So maybe it is because of the resources within Parliament that sometimes some of the committee members are not able to go. So don't despair and maybe think you do not want to come to your invitation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Members. I would also want to concur with what the members have said, but on the issue of going to the launch in Limpopo, we were invited on time. Then we, the secretariat was done everything that we were supposed to travel to Limpopo. But the problem was the changing of the program that we were supposed to attend also the another meeting that was supposed to be on Saturday. So as they have changed the arrangement, so that is where the problem was. Because after they have changed the program that we must, they must include the Saturday meeting, that is where we, they find out that the travel agents are unable to get the flight for the members to attend. So that is why only the chairperson was able to get the flight, only one person. So you know that we just didn't attend because of maybe certain issues, but no, that was the problem of with the changing of the program. And I don't want to indulge much on what the honorable members have said, but only that the concerns of the portfolio committee only on the changes at the last minute or at the end of the financial year. That's the feeling of it, because we wanted to say that the sooner they change, the changes is also affecting the cost of the program. Maybe if the minister will just respond on that, what are you going to do on the cost of the changes of the agency? According to all the what the issues have been raised, you know, that's the issue. Thank you very much.
Thank you. There are no cost implications because there's no money. When you make changes on the basis of money, then you will know that there are cost implications. And the other thing is that we're also trying to make sure that it's not just ticking boxes. We can really come and say, this is what people are doing, despite the little funding we have. But we must be able to say, if we have 2 cents, this is what we do, and try to stretch it to 3 cents. And just on that, to say that's the reason we are, and I think this committee is one of the committees, including SCOPA, who says we are short circuit by being underfunded. And unfortunately, with the economic challenges of the country now, it has made it worse. We become one of the worst departments. When they shave others, they shave us too, despite that there's no money. So I thought, the Chair, I will say that. But just to respond to some of the issues raised, you know, we meet with AG almost every week as a department, if I have to put, on a regular basis. Now we meet with them on everything we do. We have an internal audit now. Gone are the days when we didn't even have internal audits. We have the audit risk committee. They like there with us all the time, but it concerns me if they come and say, they don't know, because we consult. Yes, it might be a wrong time, which I have to acknowledge, but we do talk to them. So they must not pretend as if we don't talk. We talk on a regular basis. In fact, if you can look at AG, they like part of the department, not only us, part of departments, because everything you do, you have to report performance, information. We talk to them. And I also want to say, Chair, would like to be part of their oversight. Yo, have you ever considered how many people do we have? Have you counted us? Real people. Yeah? No, the challenge is that, you know, at all times we work on the back-to-back.
was telling them that I wish I could have been reshuffled, because people will think that I'm a slave driver. I'm not sympathetic to them. Because of, you want them to do everything. And better, so it's, maybe let me propose to, when we talk about the status, let's come and give you the structure again. So that then we link who's doing what where. Then you can see how lean we are. And I think with yourselves, we're also working on the issue of that the administration is bloated. And we found it like that. We have more people, we are stuck with them. There's nothing we should do. We are trying to turn it around. When 2-3 people leave at the administration level, maybe take those posts, collapse them to find people who are of a technical nature. So it's a process, it's not easy. And there are those, you must know in life, there are those who will never go. And they come to work 8 o'clock, 4 o'clock, you can't touch them. So we have those it's some of the challenges which I'm just sharing with you to say, would love to be part of you. Because also, if we're going to send, my experience on oversight, we send just a person, it's not helping you too. We must give you substance person, whom then when you consult or you want to ask questions and clarity, they can clarify you. But if we're going to say we take those people just to be part of you, it's not helping you. You can't be frustrated. Because if I can say we have less than 20 people who are like real, real people who must do the actual work, the core business. So it's still a big challenge you might have about other people. You know, our department which has under 106 people. But it's not that you have 80 technical. You have 80 at the top, at the bottom, at the top zero. Unfortunately, some of the challenges which we inherited. But Treasury has acknowledged, and DTME has acknowledged. We've got to move away from that and trying to find space. But girl, Tico, especially wrong, especially pressure, Pumasenando. Okay, in my guest Nayuba, Asquazu, Swamuba, Sufumani more capacity. 12 echoing, especially. So that's the challenge we are having as a department. But I agree to say we are committed. And maybe just a suggestion to say, maybe when you go on oversight visit, if there are issues, maybe let's have you also question us to say, we went to this place, these are the problems. Why? Don't talk about it. Big delegation, you pay. She paid.
We find out when we do oversight, there will be those people from the senior office that they will talk about the issues of women in the senior office. And we find that the lack of interaction or relationship between the department and the senior offices on the ground. I don't know whether is there any link with those offices and with those data. I don't think we should have a problem when it comes to office, because those people will be able to answer those questions when the people are asking them to an officer. even though we don't have the officials from the national, but we have those officials who are based in the offices of the Queen.
Chair, it's one of your questions which we've answered in the written answers. The challenge is that it's mixed masala. In the other one, it's a gender officer. In the other one, it's a status. So there's no cohesion. That's what we're trying to do. We are going to cabinet because we've been engaging with that to really say the issues of gender must be in premier's office. But it must not be administrators, junior people. That's the problem. You know, I don't want to quote provinces. There's a province where they have a status opinion. I man, she runs around that person. And when you link up now with the premier, zero. So we want to have an accountability. That is why our proposal, if it succeeds, we say a DG, HOD, in the premier's office, when they evaluate, they must also evaluate what are they doing about women. That's the only way you'll know that this is what the province is doing, because the problem is it's job creation. I'm sorry to say that. People are just keeping it easy, but there's nothing like really tangible. And the other problem, as I say, that's why we want to make sure the provinces, the premier's office takes responsibility. And right now where we are, some of the of your status of women are in the Department of Health, some are in social development, some are in HR. So you really don't have a cohesion. But if we can say they're in the premier's office, and the HOD, not the premier, takes responsibility to say when they evaluate the premier, the HOD, including us with DGs, what have you done about changing the lives of women? It must be the DG who answers to drive the program. And in that way, when you go to the province and you ask, then they must give you. And that's why we're even saying those posts must not be assistant directors because they don't have authority. Let's get it at the right level, chief director. I mean, in some of the national departments, they are deputy director generals, and we think it's department which are taking these matters serious. So if we can get a buy-in, because we've been engaging with this process up to now, it's people. It's not because at the end, you know, this president normally says this democracy is a problem because we consult but never get consensus. So in our consultation, when they come from the provinces, they hit us. No. We don't want this thing. We don't want this thing in the meetings of officials. So it's delaying us. Now we've decided to say we must really push it. Let cabinet make a final decision. If it can't pass, let's all agree that then what will be the best mechanism of making sure there's accountability by provinces. Thanks, Chair.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Minister, you make me feel very sorry for you. And yet we've got to hold you accountable.
Yeah.
And you keep on saying we got no money. But I think we've got to see how we use our money. But something that you have just said repeatedly now is that we have to have the chief director, we've got to have this and that, somebody who can be held accountable. But that's also one of the problems, because these are people who are at very high level salaries levels, and this is why we have a problem too, that it's top heavy. Why does it only have to be people who've got the very high salaries and the very high titles that are held accountable? Surely there are other people who can also be held accountable. We can't just be top heavy when there is money too short, you know, when there is money that is too little. I don't know.
You know, if you understand government and you want to make sure right thing happens, there must be the right level. Because there are decision makers, there are recommenders. And these posts are not even at the level of people who recommend.
it's administrators, it's like your secretaries, your admin people, senior administrators. Those are not decision makers, they are your support staff. Where strategically things are discussed, it's a chief director from director upward. So as long, in fact, I think if I have to acknowledge as one of the people responsible, if when we pass the gender machinery framework in 2000, we should have made sure the right thing happened then. I think we dropped the ball then, because then departments started doing their own things in terms of their own understanding. That's what is killing us. So, but we are saying, if people have to account, who must account? Because if a senior administrator goes to a meeting, he does not participate in what you call management committee meetings, does not participate in the executive committees, so it's not discussed. And you must also know that we're living in a patriarchal society. It suits other people to have an administrator. It's a, you know, the attitude, it's a woman thing. Yeah, down there. As long as there's someone who's taking care of it, it's fine. But whether it happens or not, it's not so important. It's about ticking boxes. So we must change the ticking boxes if we want to make sure. That's what I'm saying. We are having now a final document, which must take it to cabinet. And as soon as cabinet endorses, we will come back and say, these are the decisions of the cabinet. This is how it's going to happen. It will help you to say, if you say Department of Rural Development, come. It's one of the questions you can ask. What level is your gender focal point? What is the job description? And then it also helps to say, is it in line with what we're trying to achieve as a country? Thank you. We're going to ask Vel to give us an overview of our 2017-18 APP, and then we go to Mabatu. What you've done, Che, we've done it in a way that each person presents instead of giving this overall presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. The annual performance plan for this current financial year, we outlined the presentation as follows. Part A is the strategic focus and the strategic plan refinement, which I'm going to take the committee through. In Part B, there's the strategic overview, which I'll also take the committee through. Then I will then do problem one, impact C, and hand over to colleagues to look at the areas of programs to present their respective areas as indicated by the minister. Then part D is human resource, and E is financial information. It will be presented by Mr. Kibi, who is our head of corporate management and the acting CFO. Our mandate in this current APP remains the same. We are still championing the advancement of women's socioeconomic empowerment and the promotion of gender equality. Our vision and mission has remained the same. Our strategic focus together with our values are the same as in the 2016-17 APP. During the SONA in the State of the Nation address, the following highlights were identified by the department, that we are expected to continue mainstreaming the empowerment of women in all government programs, and also prioritize women's access to economic opportunities, in particular business financing and credit. This work happens in a sub-program economic department in a program 2S2, which Mr. Boy is going to take us through. And the last one is also to encourage women to consider farming in order for them to benefit from the government-supported programs, such as smallholder farmers and its commercialization. This we will find in our 9-point plan program and our report, which will be coming to Parliament on a quarterly basis. Then, department, the organizational and budget program structure remains the same. We still have three programs, administration, social transformation and economic empowerment, policy stakeholder and knowledge management, which is program three. We are under program one, we have three divisions, management, corporate management and financial management. Meanwhile, program two has three sub-programs, I mean social transformation and economic empowerment. The other one is the government sub-program, where we look at issues of gender-based violence and some of the economic empowerment and the GFT's work that happens on the gender focused budgeting for programs that would empower women. In the refinements to the strategic plan, this section is found in page 64 of the current ACP as an annexure. I just want to then take this slide 7 to 16, which I think we must look at in detail with the committee. When you look at the slide that we've prepared, because this is a PowerPoint, it is a summary which just indicates which areas were affected by the refinement on the strategic plan. So when this means when you read the current strategic plan, which was tabled in 2015-16, you will then refer to the annexure to pick up areas which we had to revise to ensure alignment with the current plan. The revisions were limited to the significant policy shifts that were identified by the department within our own service delivery environment, and it is the annexure which is in page 54. It relates to the way your strategic objectives had to be amended, and some of the five-year targets that we had identified, we had to amend them to make sure that it goes with the significant policy shift. This will also assist us in making sure that going forward, when we go to the midterm review, we don't then have to adjust or review the ATP. So it will allow us in 17-18 to be consistent in execution of our work. So the areas which were affected in slide 9 under program 1, the five-year targets which were affected by the refinement is the effective implementation. We want to have the effective implementation of the risk management plan of the department. We also want to see performance, improved performance against the ACP KPI annual target, which every senior manager will be assessed with regards to that. So this is one of the KPIs which will also show in the performance agreement of the senior managers. M98, departmental compliance with MPEG standards. We were required to then set a percentage on how we want to see the department improving going forward in the management of the MPEG standards, which it significantly affects the program one without going into the core business. And then we also wanted to have an effective internal audit report issued and the implementation of findings against a three-year plan which is approved by the audit and risk committee. in financial management, the strategic objective was refined to be improved strategic financial management system in the department, which enables the delivery of our mandate. And the five-year target is that we should be able to spend 100% of the expenditure allocated to us, and we should also achieve an unqualified audit opinion from the AG. Under corporate management, the strategic objective is effective HR ICT management to enable the delivery of the mandate and the functions of the department. And the five-year target would be to maintain a vacancy rate which is less than 10%. And we also wanted to improve the ICT business systems implementation plan developed. As committee members will recall, when we were presenting the quarterly report for quarter 1, 2, 3, which we have already tabled for the 2016-17 ACP, this is one area on ICT business systems which was not achieved from quarter to quarter, but we've improved in this area and refined the five-year target to speak to the work that we'll be implementing in the 17-18 ACP. In program 2, the strategic objective, women, social empowerment and participation, has a five-year target which are interventions for women social participation in annually identified specific areas. We are now looking at the sanitary dignity policy framework which we are developing to ensure that there is a proper policy on the rollout of the sanitary dignity to indigent women and school-going children in quartile 1, 2, and 3 without really ignoring and discriminating women who are in higher learning institutions who may also have to be catered for. So the policy will inform the work in that space in all government departments which form part of the task team which we did as a department. In sub-program economic empowerment and participation, the strategic objective is policy and program implementation for the economic empowerment and participation of women. And we will then be issuing interventions to ensure women's access and full participation in the economy. Under government, we will look at interventions to mainstream gender equality developed and implemented. This will look at gender mainstreaming and the gender responsive budgeting framework, which we will be finalizing in the 2017 ACP. This also includes the intervention for the prevention of violence against women and children. In program 3, we have looked at the targets which we won't be executing in 2017-18. What usually happens when we develop a five-year plan, which we tabled to Parliament, we then identify five-year targets that we will roll out, and we have identified the following targets which were meant to be planned for 2017-18. Which was a report on economic cluster department strategic planning document analyzed. This work will no longer feature all what I'm going to mention because we have realized that in monitoring and evaluation, we can be informed after the fact when departments have finished their planning, but we must come at the planning stage when before they even finalize their plan. So that is the rationale behind letting go of some of the targets that are listed here. One, the other one is the impact assessment report, which you will agree that we have in our quarter three performance report, which indicated that in order for us to do an impact assessment, we need a more than 2-year study, to commission a more than 2-year study to make sure that the outcome of that report is something that can be tested. So the target could not be performed inside the department at the phase where we are now, where we are trying to come up with a framework and systems that will inform other government departments on what programs are we going to be monitoring and evaluating them against. This also includes the implementation of women empowerment M&E frameworks monitored. Before we can monitor the implementation of our framework, we needed to be ready in terms of having a framework that is approved. So this particular target was not informed by a framework that we had. So we are busy finalizing our M&E framework that will also inform a department on what we will monitor them against. The M&E evaluation system could not be developed because you need to have a framework before you can have a system. So the target was not appropriate to be in the 2017-18 APT. And also the last one, to assess the impact and progress made on the elimination of gender-based violence in the country, as indicated in a sub-program governance and transformation, that work is going to happen within the dialogues which we are rolling out in program three. As colleagues and present in their areas of work, those areas will be unpacked. The research and policy analysis, the five-year target research agenda developed, and policy implementation analysis utilized to enhance government delivery and on commitment. This five-year target has been refined because the research and policy analysis will focus on policy analysis in relation to the 9-point plan as a whole, not the research, developing the research agenda. And the information and knowledge getaway is the target that we indicated in quarter three, that this target has now been reprioritized in the 2017-18 APT to look at information and communication on gender information that will be made available in our departmental website. As the department matured, we may come to a stage where we can do this magnitude of work, but right now we will focus on information and communication management, which will happen in program three still until we have revised the program structure of the department. The stakeholder coordination and outreach, the five-year target, 14 participation and 45 community mobilization. Here, this target will still be in the 2017 APT. What may have been refined is the number and how we will carry them out, which will be presented under Program 3. The M&E system, Women Empowerment and Gender Equality M&E framework, and the system developed, I've already touched on that. I'm going to then proceed to slide 17, where we look at the situational analysis, which is under the part A, the strategic overview of the current APT. Our priority remains to promote women's socio-economic empowerment and gender equality across all sectors of society. And we are still determined that there is sufficient policy and legislation to address gender equality. And we resolve that instead of focusing on policy and legislative implementation review and gap analysis. This includes monitoring the advancement of socioeconomic empowerment of women, in the implementation of the 9-point plan and the implementation of the strategy to eliminate and prevent GBV. The department is continuously seeking creative ways to do more with limited resources. We do this through partnerships. We fundraise for our outreach initiatives that we have, like your Take a Girl Child to Work, your UESO programs that we do to facilitate the girl children access to STEM fields. So when we do most of those programs, we are not only confined to the budget that is allocated to us by National Treasury, but we fundraise and form a partnership with other corporates to make sure that this work goes ahead and other government departments that are in that space. In the performance environment, our minister is lead on the gender dimension of the outcome 14, on social cohesion, sub-outcome 2, equal opportunities, inclusion, and risk with reference to changing attitudes. This is where you find us doing a lot of awareness raising and outreach initiatives that include the national and community dialogue and campaigns on women's social participation and economic empowerment and programs that are meant to sensitize the whole of society against GBV and the elimination of GBV in our communities. And we also monitor the implementation of the presidential directive that came about from the status of the recommendation and the outcome of the status of the women report. And we do this through some of the ICES departments and looking at the operational and spending plans of those departments as well as the gender dimension in the 9-point plan and the operation PAKISA initiatives which were launched. The department also enables monitoring of programs on the implementation of the status of women reports through the cluster, economic cluster department. And with regards to international commitments, the department coordinates the content and the writing of this report up to the depositing of this report in the respective structures which administer the report. Organizational environment, the department we did, the last strategic session that we had was in 2016 as mentioned by the minister, and the annexure in page 54 then has been refined to make sure that there is alignment with the current ATP. We are still structured into three programs as indicated. Under Part C, I'm going to then look at Program 1. The purpose of the program is to provide effective leadership and management and administrative support services to the department. In sub-program, departmental management, we provide executive support, strategic leadership, and management of the department. Financial management looks at finance and supply chain services. In corporate management, we look at human capital management, which is your HR, and then HR management, facilities and auxiliary services. This also includes our ICT services of the department that are located under corporate management. The goal statements and the objectives, they have remained the same. There was only that refinement in terms of the 5-year target that the ICT will be looking at as previously indicated. The annual targets that we will be looking at in program one under the sub-program departmental management. The first one is the 90% high-rated risk in the POW risk profile reduced. This one is on risk management. We have planned per quarter that we produce the risk implementation report, which we usually make available to the portfolio committee when we present the quarterly performance information. The next one is the annual review of the threat plan and the ATP as the need arises, and the executive authority provides a guide on whether there is a policy shift and there is a need to review the strategic plan of the department. Today is the need that we will embark on that review of the strategic plan. If not, we will be reviewing the 2018-19 ATP per quarter with the draft being ready as indicated in the quarterly column. The next target would be we will produce 4 quarterly performance review conducted. This is the quarterly report that we will produce, which go to National Treasury, DPME, and Parliament, which we present on a quarterly basis. We will also do compliance with all MPAT required standards and file it at the end of September as per the requirements of DPME. There will also be an annual internal audit plan for 2017-18, which will be implemented, and 95% of internal audit recommendations are planned to be implemented, and a report will be on the progress thereof will be produced. This report also serves and the audit and risk committee provides oversight on these reports which are produced by our internal audit. And the AG is the critical stakeholder in this work. So this is the work that we consult and is also in agreement with the AG on how the plan looks and how the reports are populated and produced quarterly. The next target is the issue of the payment of all invoices received within 8 days. They must all be paid. We'll then be producing a report when we will present to the portfolio committee with that result. Maintain a less than 2% underspending in expenditure against budget. This is the in-year monitoring report that will be produced to monitor the spending within all sub-programs of the department. The 95% of external audit findings cleared. On this annual target, senior managers have this as one of their KRAs in their performance agreement. When the AG audits the department, and then we are given a list of matters of emphasis, we then have to develop an audit action plan, which is managed and reported on a continuous basis to make sure that there is no recurrent findings in the current financial year. When audit time comes, we shouldn't find issues that the AG have raised with us unclear. So 95% of those need to be cleared. Under corporate management, we maintain a vacancy rate of less than 10% annually, and the quarterly report is produced. And we want 100% of all disciplinary cases resolved within 90 days of the cases being initiated. This is one area in 2016-17 that we are struggling with, but we believe that with the systems that have been put in place, we will make sure that we stay within the 90 days period to finalize cases on disciplinary cases. On average of 95% systems availability measures, quarterly reports are produced to together with the it's based on the report that is submitted to us through CISA to make sure that we are always online and ICT is available to the staff of the department. The implementation of year one of the business system implementation plan will be rolled out throughout the quarter, and we will then be monitoring them. The resource considerations will be included in the financial report that the CFO is going to present on. I will at this stage hand over to Mr. Boy to present a program to slide. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chair and honorable members. I think at this stage it will make more business sense not to repeat what has already been said. So I'll take that the purpose of the program as outlined in the presentation. It's well read and understood. I will therefore, with your permission, delve straight into the program two, arising from slide, I think, on the narrative presentation that I'm having from page 32, or slide 32, if you can put it that way. The sub-programs that we have under social transformation and economic empowerment are three in number, but the first one that I really want to talk to at this present moment is the one on the social empowerment and transformation. And I'm sure being guided by what we have committed as a department to meet in the annual target is to produce a policy framework for the provision of sanitary dignity to indigenous girls, women, and therefore arising from that, also ensuring that it gets implemented. And I think if you were to go from your left to your right, our attempt there is basically just to indicate in terms of quota what is it that we committed to do or we are going to do. I just want to allude in terms of the quota one, because that's where we are. We have already like presented the draft framework and accompanied by what we call a business case, which is like work in progress. Now, if you allow me to move without repeating what's written there for quarter two, three, and four, because I believe it could be read and understood as such, I will then move to sub-program two, which is really around economic empowerment and participation. And in terms of the annual target there, as we've put it, is to produce analysis on how departments and also state-owned enterprises, I mean those who contribute to departments, will be carrying out their work within the 9-point plan on each component. And I think we've always been hearing about this 9-point plan, and I'm not going to attempt and list all those 9 interventions. But I think it will really serve a purpose to then say, as a department within the current financial year, what will be the area of focus. We have identified what we call high impact projects, and our focus is going to be on the work as it's happening or being done in the oceans economy aspect of the 9-point plan, as well as Operation Pakisa. And also, we'll also be looking into doing work in the area of the agrarian land reform programs. So those will be the key focus areas in the main. However, there will be also other areas of the land reform plan which will also like sort of, you know, fit into that. The work that we have directed ourselves to do during quarter one, it has already started. You know that, you know, we are right in the middle of quarter one. We felt that before we could even go and ask for information in a particular format from all the different government departments, we should really assist ourselves as well as them in terms of defining by way of producing what we call a toolkit that will actually guide them in terms of what will be the areas where we really want them to report, and that work is currently being done. The report, as we've already indicated, it will be all-encompassing. It's not every area of the 9-point plan that we may be able to report, you know, from day one, but we have put plans into place in terms of those areas that I've already identified would really be guided by, and these are the things that we'll be interested in terms of those high impact project plans, how women are being assisted in terms of accessing markets. The other point I think of significance is also like ensuring that in the work of government within those identified areas, we would also like to make sure that we keep on monitoring and evaluating how women are accessing skills, because it's only skills that can lead to gainful employment, if I can put it that way. The other area of interest will also be ensuring that in the work in and around the 9-point plan, women continue to benefit in terms of the incentives. And if you allow me to move, therefore, I don't think there will be any need for me to repeat in terms of what we've planned to achieve, you know, during quarter 2, 3, and 4. The other key performance indicator in that sub-program will be the women financial inclusion. And what we've committed to achieve during the course of the current financial year is really to have a framework in place which will really guide government departments in terms of in their area of policy development, because policy, if you had to think of it, it really sits in the different domains within different spheres of government. They need to ensure that women are included, not at a point where policy is concluded, but it should really start from planning, and we should also be, they should also be able to sustain that, so that by the time when implementation plans are being developed, then women, in terms of issues and also in terms of the economic or social benefits, they do not come like as if it's a matter of an afterthought. So I think that's what the Women's Financial Inclusion Framework is aiming to achieve. Just to share with you a little bit in terms of the quarter one, in terms of the commitments there, we've already developed what we call the internal draft. And before the end of the quarter, obviously, that will be followed up with a business case. The work that has been committed in terms of, you know, going to happen across the second and third and the fourth quarter need not, like, sort of, you know, read that up to you, because it's all clearly stated there. If you allow me, then I will then present on the third sub-program within the social transformation and economic empowerment, which is governance, transformation, justice, and security. There, the first KPI, you will see that it's really on the interventions on the framework for gender focal point. And this is the point that I think the minister has extensively covered. We are at a point where we, as a department, we've done everything that we could do, and it's a work that within the first quarter, we are hoping to take it to cabinet so that we really get the decisions that are encompassed as part of the recommendations. Because the challenge, as has already been alluded to, has always been the misplacement of the gender focal people, and therefore arising or maybe perhaps putting us in a situation whereby those people who get appointed, they're not guided by a framework, and in certain instances, really like sort of, you know, appointed at a very lower positions where decisions cannot be made. I then move to gender responsive budgeting. And again, that's really developing a framework for government and also other state-owned institutions in terms of, in their work of policy development. One of the issues that as government we have come to know and really want to address is that if you look at the budget, government budgeting process, at this stage and point in time, in terms of all the incentives or whether we're talking about budgets per se, at the point of analysis, it doesn't clearly state in terms of what are the budgets as directed to programs which are meant to empower women across all the sectors, including also from government. So we have come to a point where, as a government, particularly the Department of Women, so we feel that that work will be very important in terms of guiding the budget development process, where whereby I'm sure you're quite aware of the cabinet decision that the DPME, together with Treasury, are mandated now to work together in terms of bringing also the planning in terms of effecting cabinet decision in terms of women cannot be left out in terms of planning. The other KPI there is really around development of interventions to assist in terms of eliminating gender-based violence, which affects in the most women and children. And as you can see there, in terms of the annual targets, we would be reporting quarterly to this portfolio committee and every other point of reporting in terms of the work that we'll be undertaking as a department under the umbrella of the national dialogues. And in those dialogues, I think as and when you take report from Program 3, they might as well want to, like, sort of, you know, outline in terms of whatever it would be linked to their KPIs there. But I just wanted to indicate that it's also work that as Program 2, we also get involved quite systematically so. And I really want to thank you from there, and my colleague, I'm sure, will take over from here. Thank you very much.
Prince, I'm going to present on project. Thank you very much, Prince and Chairperson. Good morning, and honourable members. I'm presenting for Program 3, a few minutes of a colleague. I'm presenting for Program 3, and I want to start on slide 36, just around the overview, so that members understand the overview of Program 3. That the program consists of four sub-programs. The first one looks at research and policy analysis. And the purpose of that sub-program is to promote the development of a gender-sensitive research and also to conduct policy analysis in order to intervene in transformation for women's socioeconomic empowerment and gender equality. The second one addresses issues around information and knowledge management, and the purpose of the sub-program is to position the Department of Women as a knowledge hub with regards to socioeconomic empowerment of women and gender equality. And the third sub-program focuses on stakeholder coordination and outreach. Its purpose is to have stakeholder management, address issues of international relations, and to conduct outreach initiatives which promote women's socioeconomic empowerment and gender equality. And the last sub-program focuses on monitoring and evaluation. And its purpose is to monitor and evaluate progress on the empowerment of women in line with national laws, regional laws, continental and international instruments and treaties. Now we go to slide 38 around the annual and quarterly targets of Program 3. The first one around research and policy analysis. The annual target of the program is that at the end of the financial year, we'll have a report on socioeconomic empowerment of women through government economic incentive schemes. So it's still part of the 9-point plan. And in the first quarter, there will be a first draft report where we are analyzing government incentive schemes around whether women are benefiting, how many are benefiting. Minister spoke about the billions that are in DTI. So the focus really is to look at that. The second sub-program on information and knowledge management, the annual target is to have quarter reports on gender communication and information. As we said earlier on, that we want the department to be a knowledge hub around issues of gender and women's empowerment. Therefore, anybody who wants to access any information around gender, they must be able to get it on the system in the department. And those will be found on the internet, on the intranet, as and when people want to get that information. The third sub-program, focusing on stakeholder coordination and outreach. We're saying we, at the end of the annual year, we want to have 10 public participation out
focus on women's economic empowerment, including those that are on outcome 14 on social cohesion, because as a department, we participate on social outcome 14, and we are supposed to report quarterly on activities around that. And quarter one, we are having 3 public participation, and already we'll be having a Take a Girl Chance to Work in May as part of the public participation. We go into Youth Month, so with our dialogues, we're also focusing on dialogue with young people as part of the public participation initiative. Then we're looking at 4 community mobilization around issues of socioeconomic empowerment that are affecting women, gender-based violence, social cohesion, nation building, and other related interventions per year. The members of the committee will know that the department is continuing with the hashtag 365 days on violence against women and children. Therefore, the dialogues are specifically talking on that. You know that we have launched the dialogues last year in Limpopo, and we're going to roll out the dialogue throughout the provinces, focusing on issues of gender-based violence, and that will also talk to outcome 14 programs. We also continue with issues of international engagement and multilateral forums, where the department is participating in SADC, in AU, Commonwealth, and the UN, where we are obliged to write country reports where necessary. AU annually, SADC biannually. So those are the activities that the department will be involved in. Already now, in quarter one, the participation of UN, the SADC that is coming in June, Commonwealth has come throughout the quarter. I think Minister will also indicate that as South Africa will be hosting the SADC as a chair, and the department will play a very important role in coordinating those activities. So going to the, as we've spoken already about the country reports that we are writing, as we speak, we have to submit the solemn declaration that is needed at AU, and including the CSRO report that has been attached in the pack that the members have from the CSRO 61 that has just taken place. With regards to monitoring and evaluation, the target there is that we produce 4 reports that are going to look at the performance of departments with regards to the implementation of the 9-point plan. So every quarter, the MNE will be monitoring the performance of those departments that are implementing 9-point plan to see where, if women are benefiting and where are the gaps, in order to come with recommendations to improve, but also to monitor the implementation on outcome 14 as a outcome that also will can assist in protecting and empowering women. Giving to Mr. Shiviti to present around human resources.
Thanks, DDG and Chair and Honourable Ministers. I'll start from slide 44. Slide 44 is just a composition of employees' budget for the 2017-18, the revised allocation, 71.9 million, which is equivalent to funding 108 positions. And then the next slide is just the narratives, the MTF compensation of employees, and what are the implications of that amount allocated to us. In terms of the post establishment, we have got 135 approved posts, of which 108, which is 80%, are funded, and 27 remain unfunded. and the implication is that the reduction in the 2017 composition of employees baseline will result in zero growth and maintenance of the current data in terms of the position. And the vacancy rate will be determined on the basis of funded vacancies, which of course we have to maintain it less than 10%. So however, increased baseline allocations for the 2018-19, in brackets we indicated the 11.6, I think Minister alluded earlier when engaged Treasury, has been ring-fenced for the core programs. The actual fact, it means that appointments of those people will be in core programs, not in administration. And same for 2019-20 financial year. So I can as well present your financial management in slide 47, so that we look at the budget allocation for the 2017-18, which total budget is 206.1 million. And included in the budget is the transfer to CGE, which is 78.2. And the net budget allocation for us is 127.8 million. So in terms of the classification, compensation of employees, like I indicated, goods and services, 52.1. The transfer to CGE, 78.2. And the capital payment is 3.8. So in terms of the program, I mean, which is slide 48, the administration budget is 83 million. The social transformation, which is 16.6 million. The policy stakeholder coordination and knowledge management is 28.1. So the total operation budget is, like I indicated, is 127.8 budget. Safe to say that transferred to CGE 78. So the economic classification, it has been indicated in slide 49. Then we can go to program one in slide 50, how it was allocated per sub-program in administration. Ministry, 17.7 mil. Departmental, which is the HOD, office, 17.3. Corporate services, 19.1. Financial management, 13 million, and office accommodation 15.7. So the total administration is 83 million. So the compensation, I mean the economic classification also for program one, compensation is 50 million. Goods and services is 80, transfer and subsidy is 1,000, and capital payments is 2.7 million. The total is 83, like I indicated. And then we go to program two. Then in terms of their sub-program. So the total budget, their program two, of course we have included the CGE, is 94.9 million. But in terms of their sub-program, we have got the social transformation, we have got the social empowerment and transformation, which is 4.5, the governance is 3.9, the economic empowerment and participation is 3.0, and the DDG's office, which is the Social Transformation and Economic Empowerment, is 5.1. And the economic classification, like I indicated for 17-18, for compensation of employees, is 8.0. But if you look at 2018-19, there's an increase of 5.1 million, which is 13.1. So that's the ring-fenced amount that I'm saying for the 18-19, which preparation in terms of the HR planning moving forward and engaging with TPSA, like Minister indicated, the National Treasurer will start the work as of now. In fact, we have started the groundwork now. So the goods and services as well, because we are bringing compensation of employees, there's an increase also in terms of the goods and services from 8.2 to 11.3 to cater for the newly appointed officials. And the transfers is the CG as well. So the same way, it's slide 52 in terms of program three. For the 17-18, it's 28.1 million. But economic classification 17-18 and 18-19, there's an increase of 6 million. Like I indicated, this is the amount that has been influenced, and the goods and services is 13 million, next is 19.5
4 million. So these are the preparatory work that will start working on it moving forward. So instead of slide 53, the following budget amendments were implemented to the DOW MTF budget allocation. Because, of course, National Treasury expects us a reduction, its baseline reduction. And this is how we're, the compensation of employees is 801,000 that we have reduced for the 17-18. The goods and services is 439. I should indicate the reduction of goods and services. We also look in terms of program one. We never touch any sense from program two and three. And the cap, which is the capital expenditure, 37,000. So the implications, no increase on staff, establishment of 120 officials for 17-18, and reduction, like I indicated, is also on program one only. So the 2018-19 MTF, like I was just indicating, touching on it when I was indicating, those increase, that baseline increases for the compensation, its capacity in core programs, goods and services also in core programs. We say the implication increases. Increased capacity in core programs to enable DOW to implement mandate, I'm saying from next year and the other years and stuff like that. But preparatory like work, preparatory work in terms of how we source the employees in terms of our human resource planning is underway. Yeah. And slide 56, I think that's the last slide. Implication of budget amendment. Suggestion was to say it is imperative for DOW to forge partnership with departments with similar priorities and projects to augment the insufficient budget for goods and services. I think we said touch on that. We used to have a general support budget, which it was the last, the 2016-17 was the last year of getting it. We still have to make an application for funding moving forward. But of course, in terms of the treasury regulations, enforcement, and the austerity measures, we are doing that on a daily basis. And thanks very much.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Honorable members, it's time now. I think we are going to have only 30 minutes. For lunch, so that you can finish early. Can we go for that? That's how we will take the session. Thank you very much.